Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price. You want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Price match applies to same item. Current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Boca Chica, Texas. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black, to remind us that Boca Chica, Texas right now has had four launches. And this fourth launch, I watched as best I could on my iPhone, broadcast from SpaceX. Looked to me like a Hollywood production. Bob, a very good evening to you. If that was a movie, I would say well done, but it's not. It was live.
In real life, I would say well done. This was an incredible success. This was absolutely an incredible success by SpaceX, beyond science fiction in many ways. So SpaceX launched Starship and Super Heavy for the fourth time. This was an attempted orbital mission once again to see if they could launch and bring both vehicles down over the ocean in a soft vertical splashdown, equivalent to a soft landing on the ground, but over the ocean for safety reasons. And they succeeded. They succeeded with both vehicles. Both vehicles landed in the ocean, vertical, softly, as expected. Super Heavy looks like almost a perfect flight for Super Heavy. This is really was amazing. But for Starship, this was even more significant because what they're testing is the ability to get back from orbital speeds through the thick atmosphere without burning up. And so they have to test the tiles, they have to test their maneuvering capabilities. The spacecraft has flaps on the outside, not grid fins, but flaps. They're like fins, literally, that move flaps side to side to control the spacecraft. It's kind of working like grid fins, but it's a little more sophisticated and has a much greater impact. Every little movement has much greater impact. You watch the video and you can see if the flap moves a little, the spacecraft's whole orientation to the Earth below changes significantly. So this is how they control things. And during the return to Earth, one of the most spectacular things about this was that the flap visible on the one camera on that where they were showing us on the outside of Starship, during the descent, it started to burn up and break up. Debris covered the lens for a while, so we couldn't really see very well. So they were expecting this to fail at some point. But as they got near the ground and this vehicle was using its flaps to orient itself vertically for the soft landing, the camera cleared enough that we could see, and I've got a screen capture on Behind the Black, as well as a link to the video if you want to watch this, that flap became more visible, and even though we could clearly see significant damage at its base where it burned up from the entrance in the atmosphere, the flap proceeded to work. It tilted and moved, and the spacecraft tilted and moves in orientation with it, which is just was incredible. The SpaceX people on the announcement were like almost speechless. And then it softly landed and used its engines. According to Atlanta, the video wasn't as clear whether the engines, the final landing burn happened, but the engineers said it did. We didn't quite see it on the videos. Elon Musk confirmed that it did. So that means both vehicles landed successfully, John, which means I think the next launch is going to happen quickly because regulatory concerns have to go away at this point. They brought both vehicles down where they were supposed to in the ocean, and that means the FAA doesn't have a leg to stand on if it wants to claim it has regulatory control over this.
The FAA, Bob, what I've learned and I've been reading is that the FAA is understaffed to provide for all the rocket launches that are proposed and possible in this country. Is that accurate?
Well, it's accurate if you make the assumption that their regulatory controls are absolutely correct and should be supported. I personally think what should happen is that their regulatory controls should be cut back significantly so they don't need more people and they would stop slowing things down. In the case of SpaceX right now, the FAA has, I'll give them credit, they have tried very much now for the present launch license to simplify things for later launches, essentially saying at this point that if the vehicles land land where they're supposed to. The FAA has less to investigate. Safety concerns are not a bigger problem. And so I expect the next launch license to occur pretty fast. And so that SpaceX can launch when it's ready and not have to wait for the FAA. That means, I think, by July we'll be launching it, I think, right now, late July probably. But it could be sooner if SpaceX gets their act together quickly. Their prototypes are waiting in the wing. Next prototypes are waiting. And unless they want to make changes to them, they could go very fast. But the FAA, yes, they're lobbying for more people to carry on their regulatory controls. And I just say, why don't we cut back on those? Because they were doing a lot of investigations and interference these days that they shouldn't. I've noticed this. There's been a since a new regulatory framework was put in place about 2 years ago that was supposed to streamline everything. American rocket startups have almost ceased launches. And I've talked to a number of people who say that this new Part 450 is slowing things down enormously. Before they could get going quick, now it takes forever to fulfill the new requirements.
Also, Bob, the flap that was damaged in some fashion that you talked about, does that give the FAA an opportunity to investigate an accident?
If they want 2 years, they could say this. Oh, that flap burned. It means they might not have control next time, and the thing could come down in a bad place. We got to investigate that. We got to wait until SpaceX fixes that entirely. And that could de-escalate things. But, you know, SpaceX, it's going to look at this footage. It's going to look at its flaps. It's going to make a decision how it should fix that problem, and it'll go ahead. And the FAA doesn't know how to fix that problem, and they shouldn't be involved in trying to fix that problem, to be very honest.
And your blessing, then, is that SpaceX can go as fast as possible. There will be no additional holdups.
I hope so. That's my hope right now. I think that the FAA at least has expressed a willingness to cooperate and allow SpaceX to move at its own pace. Politics are involved here, though, so we cannot be certain about that, John.
Boeing Starliner. We waited for considerable days until everything came together and the launch went off on a ULA booster and the Starliner reached ISS. Any difficulties, Bob?
Yes. Starliner, with two people on board, the first manned mission, it successfully docked with ISS yesterday. But during the docking process, or at least during the flight to the station, from what I gather, six of the attitude thrusters failed. This is not related to the helium leaks that were detected previous to the launch. That was small and decided not a significant problem. These six small attitude thrusters, out of 28, by the way, failed. This is a similar problem that occurred during the unmanned demo mission last year. So obviously, Boeing did not quite solve that problem. They delayed the docking by an hour so they could troubleshoot the failed thrusters. What they wanted to do is do quick hot fire test burns of those thrusters, see if they came back to life. And of the six thrusters, they were able to revitalize, reactivate four of them. Why they had to do this, though, raises a question. Either way, it did successfully dock. They got a lot of thrusters that didn't, and most of the thrusters were working. So I would say this is not a serious concern about getting those astronauts back to Earth on Starliner. But it is a concern. It's not trivial. That the attitude thrusters that control the orientation of Starliner, some of them have failed and consistently failed, is a worry. It doesn't mean they won't get back safely, but this should have not occurred again. This should have been fixed.
Firefly. Let's move on to commercial successes. Firefly gets a 25 launch contract. Somebody's in the money. Who gave it to him?
Lockheed Martin gave it to him. Lockheed Martin is focusing on satellite construction and is investing in rocket startups to try to get a bunch of competing companies to can launch its satellites. It invested heavily in Rocket Lab. It invested heavily in the rocket startup ABL. And now it has signed Firefly for a 25 launch contract through 29 15 of which are committed launches with 10 optionals. What's significant about this is that Lockheed Martin had signed previously with ABL for 58 launches. It appears that ABL, which has not launched in the last 2 years, once again, I'm wondering about the FAA there. Lockheed Martin might have decided that maybe there's a problem there. We've got to get somebody else online. So they signed Firefly. Firefly has a rocket, Alpha, which is launched a bunch of times, not very many. It's had some failures, but it's been able to get payloads into orbit. It's a company that is moving, so this is a big deal for them, John.
And the ESA is scheduling. Bob, how many times have we announced the Ariane 6?
Ariane 6, this is the first time we're announcing a launch date. Ariane 6 has been delayed for many years, 4 years behind schedule. But in the last 6 months, they've been doing their final test campaign of the rockets and the launch procedures, and they have narrowed, just a week ago, they narrowed down the launch window to 2 weeks in late, early July. And this week, they announced a launch date. They're going to try to launch the Ariane 6 on its very first launch on July 9th. And so that'll get them a rocket that's operational. It has 30 missions on its manifest launches, but those are almost all going to Amazon, almost for its Kuiper system. Almost nobody else wants to buy this rocket. And so let's talk about the next story, John.
Just,
go right
just
to
a
it.
Just a moment, Bob. I wanted to make certain. What? We've been talking about Ariane 6 for 4 years? 4 years?
More than that. A decade. They first proposed it in 2015. It was supposed to be able to be a new, cheaper rocket to compete with the Falcon 9, but it doesn't include any reusability, and so it's too expensive. And nobody really in the European European Union wants to use it. It was designed to be a big rocket for Europe, but no one wants to use it in Europe. And so Europe has gone to the capitalism model, John. They've been trying to get new rocket companies going, independent rocket companies that are not government rocket companies like Ariane Space, to compete with each other. And they signed a deal. This is not a rocket company, but this is a really big deal. They signed a deal this week with the space station private American commercial company VAST, that's building its own space station, to use that space station for European missions. Now, what's significant about this is that VAST is the only American station being built with no NASA money. It is independent. It's going to be launched. The first module is going to be launched, planned next year, on a Falcon 9 rocket. And they'll later add modules, but very shortly after launch, they're going to do a manned four-person mission to this station for 30 days using Falcon 9 rocket. No NASA money. No NASA involvement. ESA signing with this station suggests to me that they want to get around NASA, because NASA has very, very stringent and very difficult to deal with regulations and rules on getting doing missions to its stations. And so this station is independent of NASA. It has no NASA money involved. It's all privately funded. So ESA obviously wants to be part of that. And this just means that a completely private station might be a better place to go than a NASA-funded station. And that means this is a warning to those other commercial stations. They better react to this and be aware of this before they're going to lose business.
Our adversaries are aware that there's a spaceport gap, and they're filling it quickly. North Korea, and now, Bob, in Iran's spaceport, do we take this seriously?
I have no idea whether to take it seriously, but I do report it. One of Iran's ministers announced that they are in the process of building a new space fort on Iran's southern coast off the Indian Ocean, and they plan to have this ready for its first launch by next March, less than a year from now. They have a launch site in the middle of Iran in remote areas, so it's very hard to get any information. Building a coastal spaceport means they're willing to be more open about their program. They've said their program is not all military. Anything with rockets is military-related, but this means they might be aiming for more civilian-type missions that have nothing to do with the missile launches right on the coast, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Having MG can make cooking difficult, but over the years, I've found some really helpful tools and tips that I'm excited to share. Hi, I'm Alicia. I think cooking should always be fun, creative, and of course, delicious. These black bean burgers are hearty, full of flavor, and MG friendly. You're gonna love them.
Check out Alicia's Black Bean Burger cooking video and other recipes full of tips and tricks for managing common MG symptoms while cooking only at mg-united.com.
Ready? Let's cook.